Right? Like we sat down, both me and Mandy, we were visiting some friends yesterday, and then everybody was talking about, oh, well, what'd you have for Christmas, right? We got kids and stuff running around, and Mandy totally forgot everything. Like she's like, I'm like, wow, honey, I even got the Amazon list. I clicked the right links, bought the sizes she said to click, and she forgot all of them, at least for about 3 to 5 minutes, because she hadn't drank her coffee yet. Once that stuff kicked in, though, she was able to rattle off the velvety curtains and all the little things. And so I too forgot. Like, people have already been asking me, like, hey, what'd you get? I'm like, well, some tools, some socks, some underwear, right? The regular guy stuff. But yesterday I got to set up a hot tub that somebody got me. That was fun, right? Sat in that, and it was great. And then I got out, and it was really cold. Really cold because it's still outside. But today, I'm not sure if you're still excited about what you've got for Christmas or if you've returned it already, but I remember there was a time where I was really excited to go see Mandy around Christmas time. And so I was so excited, though, that I think I was driving a Chevy S10 at the time. I was so excited that I wanted to get there really fast. And so I don't know if you've ever driven through a town or on a highway or wherever, and you saw this little sign in the distance and it said speed limit. And you've seen that one, Tony, right? You've seen that one. But to me, I was just seeing them, and to me, they were reading speed suggestion. Right? I was going somewhere. I had someone to see. I had somewhere to be, and I wanted to get there fast. Anybody ever seen those signs of suggestions and not like, okay, all right, Tandrake, right? All right, some people telling the truth here in church. This morning, you guys are going to have a great year. Those of you that are lying, it's not going to go well. But I remember, and the cop said that I was going too fast. After he pulled me over, showed me his beautiful color of Christmas lights, and he pulled me over and he let me know that I was going too fast. Now, believe it or not, there was a time in my life that I didn't know what too fast was. It was out of college, living up in Michigan, and those suggested limits just weren't the speed that I was willing to drive, because that felt way too slow. And I found out, believe it or not, that there is this thing called points on your driver's license. And it is ridiculous. And in Michigan, you can actually get your license suspended if you accumulate 10 points. You know how I know this? Is because at 4 points, you receive a letter from the Secretary of State advising you to drive more carefully. I got that letter. That didn't stop me. At 8 points, you receive another letter warning you that you'll need to retake the driver's reexamination if you continue to break the law. At 12 points, you're required to retake your driver's reexamination, which may include a review of your driving record, test your eyesight and knowledge of traffic safety, and a behind-the-wheel driving test. While I didn't get there yet, because I moved out of Michigan after 5 years, I did when I went to apply for my driver's license to come to Indiana. They were like, oh, you were about to lose your license, weren't you? I'm like, oh. I was? I really didn't know all those, but you can actually get your license revoked. I don't know if you knew that or not. It can happen. You get a little bit more warning and a little bit more points here in the state of Indiana. I didn't look that up because once I heard that, I kind of decided to change my ways and do things a little differently, because I really didn't want to end up like with my license saying just rejected, right? Like I did not want that picture suspended. They stamp it right on there, and I don't. It is ridiculous. But I realized there was a little bit more to the story of having your license. I had never heard that you could have a suspended license, especially by driving too fast and getting caught, right? But the fact is, I whether it was my mom praying for me or my own stupidity, I just continued to get caught until I started to make wiser decisions. And every time I got caught, there was a penalty to pay. There was a fine for my disobedience. Well, you may be wondering what any of that has to do with communion. But I want to take a trip, if you take a trip with me, whether you're following along in the notes in the Innovation Church CC app. Now, if you don't have that app, you can scan that QR code and just text the word app, and it'll get you the link to those apps. But you can follow along right there in the notes, or you can open up YouVersion, or you can look at the screen. But the very first communion, many people think that it's when Jesus, right, sat down with his disciples. Some call it the Last Supper. I think Jesus still wants to eat with us, so I wouldn't say that's the last one. But when he sat down with his disciples and broke the bread, said, "This is my body," and drink from the cup, "This is my blood," I don't see that as the first communion. Actually, if we look in the book of Genesis, I believe a lot of things go back to Genesis, and I believe a lot of our life problems can be solved in the book of Genesis. And so that's where I want to start. That in Genesis 1:27, right? This is where God had created human beings, and it said he created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Like, that solves a lot of debates for me that's going on in culture these days, but that's not where I'm talking about today, because by the time you get to verse 28, it says, "Then God blessed them and said, 'Be fruitful and multiply.'" That verse has been underlined in all my Bibles. That was one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. "Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish of the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground." One of the reasons, just because I love my wife and being fruitful and multiplying, that makes that verse really good. But because the very first thing God did was bless them. He blessed them. Not with rules, not with burdens, not with do this, not with do that, but with a purpose. He gave them a purpose and the freedom. Be fruitful. Multiply. His first words called them to create, called them to lead, called them to thrive. And today I'm wondering if we will be God's people that are called to those same types of things. Not just because I want to populate the nursery and not I know, Chrissy's up here and she's like, "More babies? Really, Pastor? Like, come on. Like, we've got a lot in the nursery right now, right? We got 9 months, right? Like, 9 months, start the baby making machine now, right? Like, but from the beginning, God's heart has been to grow. It's been to expand. It's been for us to step into the authority that he's given us, both as individuals, but I see also as a church. And since September, I don't know if you've noticed around here, things have been filling up, especially when Snowmageddon isn't hitting us, right? But too often, fear grips us. Doubt grips us. We're not really sure what God really wants to do in and through us. We're not really sure of our purpose. We don't wake up every day saying, "All right, God, let's conquer the day. What do you have for me today?" We're like, "Oh, God, another day. Another day that I get to get up. That I've got to get up. Another day that I've got to go to work." Same God who spoke life and purpose over Adam and Eve, I believe it wants to speak life over us today. I wonder if we could embrace those first words, be fruitful, to multiply, to reign, to grow in our faith, in our relationships, in our purpose, to share God's love and make impact wherever we may be, right? This isn't the only day to wear your Christian t-shirts, right? This isn't the only day to say the name of God, to speak about Jesus. There's people that need to hear, 67% of them, by the way, that need to hear about him, that need to know about who he actually is versus who they think he is. To share God's love and to make an impact wherever we are, and then to reign, to walk confidently in the authority that he's entrusted us with. You may be sitting there and saying, "Billy, that doesn't sound like communion." Well, it is. Because in Genesis 2:5, the scriptures continue. We get a more detailed version of the story. It says, "When the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, neither the wild plants nor the grains and were growing on the earth, for the Lord God had not yet sent rain to water the earth. And there were no people to cultivate the soil. Instead, springs came up from the ground and watered all the land." Verse 7, it says, "Then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person." By the time you get to verse 15, it says the Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and to watch over it. But the Lord God warned him, you may freely eat from the fruit of every tree in the garden, except for the tree of knowledge of good and evil. If you eat of this fruit, you're sure to die. See, out of that just little passage, like that's a message for every single male and single female, right? That's the most important thing, to trust God. Like, you're trusting God. You have a job, right? Right? Like, nothing's better looking than a 401k, ladies. I'm not just telling you that, right? You'd be able, he was told to tend to the garden, to take care of the garden. That means not only did he have a job, but he also could hear God's voice. Ladies, if he can't do that, then he's probably not marriage material. There's nothing more attractive, right, than a man that can hear from God. See, we see Adam get this one rule: live in freedom, but don't eat from this tree in the center of the garden, or you will surely die, right? We then see Adam not doing good alone, right? God said it was not good for man to be alone, so Lord God called man to fall into a deep sleep, and while the man slept, the Lord God took a rib and closed up the opening. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib, and he brought her to the man. At last, I always like that part because it's got an exclamation point, right? He's excited. He sees something that's like him. At last, he explains. Do you notice that Eve's first relationship, though, was with God? She was created and formed in his hands. And it said that he had to bring her to the man. So he got to know her. She got to know him. It's one of the best places for any single lady to be. Way before you're thinking about marriage, to be communing with God. Finding out his plans. It talks about this is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Though she will be called woman because she was taken from the man. This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united in one. Now the man and his wife were both naked and they felt no shame. See, this is where humanity could have stayed forever. Be fruitful, multiply. You got all the world. You can eat of any tree. You can do whatever you want. You're in charge of it all. Don't eat from that one tree. Every freedom without the care in the world, without the pain of childbirth. You ladies, you got to discuss that with Eve. But without sin, without guilt, without what it says, shame. I don't know. How what have you done? Addison, you think you would have been all right? You'd been good? You'd been like, okay, that one tree, all right, I'm good, right? I can handle this, right? We're the wingers. We got this. God gave us one thing, like, but we can do all this. I don't know. Like, many of us know what happens in chapter 3, right? The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals in verse 1, and the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, right? I don't know if red flags go up in your mind as you read the Bible, but something tells me that there's something wrong already, right? Snakes are talking, right? This is not good. Like the first time I cussed was because of a snake, and all that snake did was exist. It didn't come at me. I was just walking, and it was there, and that, yeah. But this one's talking, right? This one's talking to Eve, and it's hanging out with it, right? Me, I'm out of this picture. Like, talking snake, I'm gone, I'm good. Any snake, I'm gone, I'm good. But he says, did God really say? Did God really say you must not eat from the fruit of any of the trees in the garden? See, he put out that question, right? That question, well, is the speed limit really 45 in this area? Is there anybody here to really catch you? Surely nobody's in this podunk town. You can go 70 through it. Right? No. You can go faster. Don't you want to go faster? Did that sign really say 55? Of course, verse 2 says, of course we may eat from the trees in the garden, the woman replied. It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. God said, you must not eat of it or even touch it. If you do, you will die. Always interesting how the woman adds extra words. I'm just saying. Verse 4, though, you won't die, the serpent replied to the woman. You guys seen Eve lately? Like, I keep waiting to see Eve like as the greeter at Walmart. but that name tag never says Eve, right? See, maybe the timing was different than what they thought, but Adam and Eve were meant to live, to be fruitful, and to multiply forever. That's what we get already from the first couple of chapters, but because sin entered the world, they did die. See, verse 5 says, God knows that your eyes will be opened, and as soon as you eat it, you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. The woman was convinced, and she saw the tree was beautiful, and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom that it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. I don't know if you've ever noticed. I tend to notice it sometimes in other people better than I notice it myself. But that Satan tempts us, not with red horns and pitchforks. It's usually things that we want, things that we desire, things that we lust after, the greed that we have, the mine, the give me. That's how I know when the job that offers me double the pay comes in. Is this really something I should do? Because most of us would really jump up and say, okay, you're offering me, some of you would move for $10 more, right? Like $10 more, I'm out of Indiana, right? Some of you, or $10,000 more, $20,000 more, $40,000, like what number is it, right? Oh, so what if God didn't tell me to move? What number is telling me to move? I'll follow that one. Of course, that's his blessing. Not thinking twice about that, what that's going to do to you, your spouse, your family, your kids. What does it do to the church? Oh, I'll find another like it. People tried to. I still know people who've left here 3, 4, 5 months or years ago that are still searching for a church, still searching for a place that they were able to connect with God like they did here. I've seen more marriages fall apart even after leaving here because they were chasing more of what they wanted versus what God had already had for them here. Most of us work double time, right? It's a Sunday. It's double time. Might as well get it, right? Got to get it instead of like be good stewards of our finances and actually get a pay raise just by doing a budget and saying, this is the money I'm going to spend. I know this has nothing to do with communion, right? Did God really say? What did God really say? Why are you here? Did God really say? What is God really calling us to do in 2025? Oh, I'm fearful about that. Oh, I'm not sure if I can do that. Oh, go on the mission field? I don't know about that. That sounds hard. Did God really say? Some of you, you've been wrestling with that for 10 days, 10 weeks, 10 months, 10 years. Did God really say, and you're unwilling to walk into it, unwilling to take that step and risk it all. But the next verse is the one that makes me the most angry, almost probably in a lot of scripture. It's verse 6. It says, then she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too. Took me a while to see that, right? Because you see the cartoon and you see the Eve eating it, and then she walks over to Adam. But really, if you just read the scripture, it says he was right there the whole time. He was with her. Talking snake, wife, this isn't going to go well. Like, he doesn't think of these things, right? Oh, let's see how this plays out. Let's see what's going on. Let's see what they're going to say. Let's see how this conversation goes. He does absolutely nothing. This is where Mr. Stewart, right, comes in and says, come on, man, right? Like, come on. Like, what are you doing? You see everything that's unfolding here. You see somebody challenging what God has told you. He's talking to your wife, and you're just standing there. But some of you, that's the only reason you're in here. Because she's here. You're not being the man that God's called you to be, who he's created you to be. You're not the protector of the family. You're not the leader. Oh, well, she's here. And so that's why I'm here. You're not fighting for your family. See, we can blame Adam for not stepping up and pulling the snake out of that tree and killing it like the man he should have been. He didn't protect, he didn't fight, he didn't do anything. And many times that's our own spiritual stance, even as the man of the home. Oh, she'll handle that. She's got that. She'll carry that weight. She's not meant to. See, on one hand, I get it. On the other hand, I'm angry. You guys have heard about why I'm angry. On the other hand, like, Eve's standing there naked. I'm just saying, guys. She's naked, and so maybe he's distracted, and so I'm just saying. He's got his eyes set on other things. We know what happens, though. We know they eat the fruit. It goes through a whole section of consequences verses because there are consequences. No matter how much I disagreed with the speed limit, the officer reminded me that it was there and that I needed to follow it with a hefty fine every single time. $100, $150, $200. Then the Secretary of State's mailing me a letter. Do you know you got 4 points on your... Dang it. No matter how much we disagree with the speed limit, there's always consequences. Lead to pain. In this case, death. Eve is not the greeter at Walmart, no matter how old that greeter may be. But before all that ends, by the time we get to verse 21, it says, "And the Lord God made clothing from animal skins for Adam and his wife." There's people that are much smarter than me, scholars, theologians, historians, people with more letters after their names than mine ever will have. But they debate about this animal. And the consensus, the overwhelming consensus, is actually that the animal was a lamb. And given the continuity of how the Bible continually says the same thing over and over and over and verifies that it's true. And how many lambs are actually executed throughout Scripture as a sacrifice, I would tend to agree. But I believe there's some other significance that we see here as well. There's John 1:29, it says, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." 1 Corinthians 5:7, "For Christ our Passover Lamb has been sacrificed." Revelations 5:12, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive the power and the wealth." Revelations 5:6, "I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain." Isaiah 53:7, "He was led like a lamb to the slaughter." 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, "You were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ and a lamb without blemish." John 10:11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Revelation 13:8, "The Lamb who was slain from the creation the world." Revelation 7:17, "The Lamb will be their shepherd. He will lead them to the springs of water." See, these verses show how Jesus was constantly referred to as the sacrificial lamb. And so when I look at this verse in Genesis, I can agree easily with those theologians. Because God has been a person of his character time and time again. And communion, I believe, is a time of celebration. A time where the guilt and the shame, where his body has been broken for us and his blood was shed for us. Like Romans 8:1 and 2 says, "So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus." What the first lamb was there to cover up their guilt, to cover up their shame. Today we get to celebrate. The same thing that Jesus did for us. No condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. See, sin had a cost in Genesis, just like every single one of my stinking speeding tickets. Fact is, the price has been paid. Someone had to pay. And when I went and stood in front of the judge, I had to pay. But in the Garden of Eden, that cost was the introduction of shame, of pain, and ultimately death. But communion is our opportunity to pause and to remember that price that was paid for our freedom. Because that same lamb, that life was given for Adam and for Eve, we too had a lamb that paid the ultimate price for us. Just like the bread and the wine that Jesus shared with his disciples, we come together to celebrate the grace that we've been given and the new covenant sealed with his blood. Today, where the band's about to play that song once again as the communion elements are distributed. They're going to come and they're going to help you guys distribute them throughout the aisle. They'll pass the juice down and pass the bread down. If you want to grab one of those while we sing that. Because in 2025, we have a God that we can trust in. In 2025, we have a God that wants us to thrive, who has given us the power, who has given us the authority. But are we going to step into that? Are we going to recognize and operate with that trust? Because just as much as we're putting our trust in him, he's putting our trust in us. You're not in this area. You're not even in this church by accident. God knows you. He knows how he's wired you. He knows how he's made you, the giftings that he's given you. And he's brought us together as the body of Christ. That's what the church is commonly referred to in Scripture, the body of Christ. And we get to be the hands and feet right here in a city where 67% don't go to church anywhere. Say they want to have nothing to do with God, want to have nothing to do with Jesus. And what I've found more times than not is they've got their own idea who Jesus is. They've got their own issues going on. They've got their own wars going on in their head. They have no clue that he is that sacrificial lamb. And when they get to hear about that lamb, who's come to cover their guilt, shame, to wash it away, that he has made a way where there seems to be no way, not just for not living and going to hell, but for not living through hell on earth, that his grace is sufficient, his love is everlasting, and his mercies are new every single morning, so that no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, that you can put your trust in him, and that he will be the one that says, follow me, I'll make you into who I've created to be. I shaped you and formed you in your womb, so I know the blueprint, I know the plans that I have for you. Come on, just follow me, I'll make you. Let's walk through this life. Are we going to be those ones that are willing to say, yep, I trust you, God. I trust you. I'll follow after you. I think of Aladdin, right, on the whole carpet. I trust you. Do you trust me? Right? Like Aladdin and Jasmine, do you trust me? And could God be saying today, do you trust me? Do you trust me? We always say with our time, our talent, our treasure around here, do we trust him? Well, just like you trusted that little purple chair that you're sitting in, it's time for some action on actually trusting him. And he's saying, do you trust me? 2025, do you trust me yet? I'm ready to move. Do you trust me? Because he wants to move not just in us, but also through us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity and the freedoms that we have to celebrate you and who you are. God, I pray that we would continue to experience your presence, that we would continue to understand the gift that is salvation. God, we thank you for being the one who redeems, the one who restores and calls us your own. Help us never forget that. Help us be able to walk into 2025 knowing that each and every day that you are the God who redeems, who restores, and calls us your own. That we can walk with our head held high. That we can thrive here in 2025. before we go. Maybe you're here and maybe you just, you drank that cup, you ate that bread, but you know that Jesus, you know now a little bit more of what he's done for you, but you've never really decided to follow after him. Today, I would love to give you that opportunity, whether you're here in the room or whether you're online or whether you're sitting at home in Snowmageddon, whatever it may be. Today, in the midst of a snowstorm, maybe it's time to give your life to Christ. Choose today to follow after him. So we commonly say a prayer at the end of each and every one of our services to give you, your friends, your neighbors, your enemies, your children, an opportunity to invite Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. So I'll say the prayer. If you want to repeat it after me, make that decision today. But you won't be repeating it after me alone. The people around you, to your left, your right, in front of you, behind you, unless you're sitting in Starbucks, maybe you encourage them to say it too. Let's say this prayer together as we start off 2025, dedicated to following Jesus. Repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I admit that I've sinned and I've fallen short of your standards. I recognize my need for a Savior, and I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins and rose again to give me new life. Today I turn from my old life and choose to follow you. I invite you into my heart to be my Lord and Savior. Transform me from the inside out and help me to walk in your ways. Thank you for your grace, your forgiveness, and the promise of eternal life. I surrender my life to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Church, would you put your hands together for those that just said that prayer?